بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. This subject is under the title البيعة Allegiance and Hizbiyya and Partisanship. First of all, concerning Al-Bay'ah, what is Al-Bay'ah or giving allegiance? Islam brought forth the obligation to have Bay'ah, and the Prophet ﷺ commanded it, and the allegiance was given to him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then to the leaders after him, and to the khulafa afterwards. In our times, many deviated and made this bay'ah to everyone whom they chose, from those who set themselves as leaders of groups belonging to Muslim groups. And because of the innumerable numbers of these groups and their disputes, so the bay'ah kind of multiplied and varied and became even numerous, to this person or to that person, leading to disputes, each claiming his group to be on the truth, and that the leader of such a group is the one who deserves the legal bay'ah, the legal allegiance to be given to him. First of all, what is the meaning of bay'ah? Linguistically, it means is to strike a deal for or on a matter of trade, and also on obedience and following, like a covenant, as to the Islamic meaning, al-istilah. It means the covenant on obedience. It is as if the one who giving allegiance gives the covenant for his emir, for his leader, assigning him to conclude matters concerning himself and concerning the Muslims at large, in such ways that not to be disputed in anything, and obey him in what this leader may assign to him from certain tasks, whether at times of ease or at times of difficulty, and to obey him in that which he likes and he may not like. And they used to, when they used to give this bay'ah to the leader and give him the covenant, they would put their hands in their hand, affirming the ahd, the promise and promise of allegiance. Just like in the case of between the people who go on striking a deal, selling and buying. This is the meaning of bay'ah. Second, what is the meaning of hizbiyya? In the linguistic aspect, is al-hizb means a group of people. In the plural, it's called Ahzab, parties. And the Hizb of a man are his followers and his soldiers who are holding to the same view like him. And if a group of people whose hearts and deeds are in agreement, then they constitute a party, even though they may not meet physically, and also still under this linguistic meaning, al-hizb is kind of people also. It means kind of people whose desires may be the same. As to the Islamic or legal meaning of al-hizb in Islamic terminology, meaning it is not totally blameworthy, nor it is totally praiseworthy, meaning that it is praised or blamed in accordance of its intended use, in accordance with its intended use. Check for example, in the Quran, we read in Surah Al-Mujadila, verse 19. So this will be 58, verse 19. Ala inna hizb al-shaytani hum al-khasirun. Ala inna hizb al-shaytani hum al-khasirun. Shaitan has overtaken them, so he has made them forget the remembrance of Allah. They are the party of Shaitan, of Satan. Verily, it is the party of Satan, Hizb al-Shaytan, that will be the losers. This is blameworthy. Also in the Quran we read, in the same chapter, but verse 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَا إِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هم المفلحون. They are the party of Allah. Verily, it is the party of Allah that will be successful. As you can tell from here, in one context it was blameworthy, as it is the party of Shaitan in that case, and in one instance it was praiseworthy, when it is mentioned to be the party of Allah concerning the believers. Certainly, if the Hizb comprises the party of wickedness, the people of wickedness and people of desire and misguidance and disbelief, then all of that is blameworthy. Second point, the danger of Hizbiyya, of Tahazzub. Everyone who examines the Islamic history finds that tahazzub, bigotry to opinions and to madahib and schools of thoughts and to innovations, splits the Muslim ummah and takes away from their unity. And that's why we know that the textual proofs are replete in calling for unity and in keeping away from all ways and means that lead to splitting. Third, the ruling concerning al-bay'ah, allegiance, many textual proofs came to confirm the command to give allegiance, and also to warn against abandoning it and the consequences of abandoning it. From this, we read the Surah Al-Fath, verse 18. 48:18. قول الله عز وجل لقد رضي الله عن المؤمنين إذ يبايعونك تحت الشجرة فعلم ما في قلوبهم فجعل من دون ذلك فتحا قريبا. Indeed, Allah was pleased with the believers when they gave their bay'ah, their pledge to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, under the tree. He knew what was in their hearts, and he sent down a sakina, calmness and tranquility upon them, and he rewarded them with a near victory. Also we read in the same chapter, verse 10, قَوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهِ يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ فَمَنْ نَكَثَ فَإِنَّمَا يَنْكُثُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِمَا عَهَدَ عَلَيْهِ اللَّهَ فَسَوْفَ يُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهِ. Verily those who give bay'ah, allegiance, pledge to you, O Muhammad, they are giving pledge to Allah. The hand of Allah is over their hands. Then whoever breaks his pledge breaks only to his own harm, and whoever fulfills what he has covenanted with Allah, he will bestow on him a great reward. And the sunnah came also to emphasize the same matter, calling for giving allegiance, and that whoever dies without having an allegiance pledged from him to the Muslim leader, and if he dies on this, he dies on a state of pre-Islamic era. And this refers to giving the pledge to the general Muslim imam, who most people give the pledge to in his times or in his country, in the case of the absence of the general Muslim Khilafah. This is the obligated bay'ah, pledge incumbent upon every Muslim, and it's forbidden to abandon, and it's forbidden to dissent in terms of obedience on this pledge, times of difficulty and hardship, in that which the Muslim likes, in that in which he doesn't like. As long as the leader does not command al-ma'asiyah, command sin, then in this case he cannot be obeyed, but rather he is to be obeyed on other things. Not obeying him on the sin which he may command does not necessitate, as it is misunderstood by many of the Muslim youth in our times, does not necessitate rebellion against him. And when we talk about this imam, whether this imam has been set to be an imam by influential people in the country, chosen from amongst them, or assigned by his predecessor, or even to the degree that he may take rulership by force, and the things settle for him, then it is forbidden to rebel against him, as long as he does not commit clear, plain kufr. And with the conditions of rebellion, then, to remove him must be fulfilled. That this kufr is clear, does not tolerate any kind of misinterpretation, and that we have a proof from Allah that this is really kufr, and that there is ability to change him, and that the changing of him does not lead to a greater evil. When all of these are met, and you see how difficult are they, then in that case, he may be taken out. Otherwise, the Muslims are called to be patiently persevering until these conditions are met. The illegal bay'ah. Now, the illegal bay'ah. In our times, so many deviations occurred on giving pledges that are illegal, not condoned by Sharia. And this had a negative impact on Muslim societies at large. From this are the following: the deviant pledges. Number one, the pledges by the Sufis to their elder or to their shuyukh. You find the Sufi adept, the mystic, gives the pledge of allegiance to his sheikh, kind of eternal pledge, holding his neck, such that he can never leave the way of his sheikh. Such a pledge has no basis in Sharia. Rather, without any doubt, it is certainly futile. Some of them take the pledge shaking hands of men and women from the mystic Sufis. They take their pledge that they will continue to be their students and their adept, and to take from their shuyukh, no matter what they say. Even they give the pledge to share with their shuyukh their wealth and money. In fact, in some cases, they can take kind of tax levy from them. This is, in fact, a criminal act and mischief that has no basis in Sharia and Islam. From the second type of deviant pledges is the pledges of group members to their group leaders. And this is becoming now widespread in many countries, where these groups and mini groups and subgroups, every day you hear a group splitting and forming other groups and leaders and sub-leaders and so forth. In these groups, these leaders request from the members to have full pledge, just like having the legal pledge to the Muslim leaders. And these groups vary in terms of the covenants they take. First, or some, they say that anyone who abandons giving the pledge to the leader of this group is a kafir. Such that this group assigns a leader for itself and requires people to give a pledge. And in their opinion, anyone who does not give such a pledge is a kafir. Others, they tell you that giving the pledge is a mandatory matter, is fard, obligation. Anyone who doesn't give it is sinful. And so they assign an emir for the group in order that the sin can be lifted off them if they don't have one. In case they don't have one, they are sinful. So they assign an emir and give him the pledge as a means to lift the sin. These kinds of pledges are futile and baseless, and it cannot be traced to Sharia in any way. And anyone who claims that it is obligatory to give a pledge to the emir, the leader of the group, is certainly at error. From the consequences of this is that we are having more than one pledge in the same time and in the same country, because each group thinks that the correct bay'ah or pledge is therefore emir. Secondly, it leads to enmity and to conflict and hate between these groups, and competition in acquiring members for each group. Thirdly, it leads to the spread of the concepts of takfir. Why? Because some of these groups believe that the one who does not give the pledge is a kafir, and sees that his group is the only group, and his emir, is the only leader. And thus, they impute kufr or takfir on everyone who does not give the pledge to that emir. Fourthly, it leads to spilling the inviolable blood, and this is happening in some Muslim countries. A member of a particular group may be killed if he leaves the group, or a leader of a group may kill any competitor or any opposer to his leadership. And these are real things, they are not fictional, they are occurring. Fifthly, this led and still leads to confrontation between these groups and the governments, and rebellion and bloodshed and harshness and takfir, carrying arms. Evil on top of evil. To the degree that some of these groups started adopting concepts, they call them revolutionary concepts, where the term even revolution has nothing to do with Islam. The consequences, as you can tell, of these illegal ahzab, these parties who look for allegiance to the party and for bay'ah and pledge to the parties, corrupted the souls and thoughts of many Muslim youth around the world. We refer the matter to Allah, the Most High. We ask Him to save us from falling into this mischief, and to protect the Ummah from such splitting. وَلَا حُلَى وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمُ